All right, picture this for a second. It's, say, a Sunday afternoon.
Okay.
You've got the window down, music playing, and you're driving through the British countryside. We're talking Norfolk, to be specific.
Oh, absolutely. It's iconic,
That
really.
is. You get those big open skies, the fields are golds in the summer, and you're on these winding, ancient lanes. They feel like they've been there forever.
They do. It's the kind of thing you see on a postcard.
Exactly. It's that luxury fudge box scene. It feels, well, it feels timeless.
And it does something to you, doesn't it? Your heart rate sort of drops. You relax. You feel like you've actually es escaped. It feels safe.
It feels peaceful, but, and this is the huge but we're getting into today, that scenery is basically camouflage. Because according to the data we're looking at, those idyllic roads are quietly becoming some of the most dangerous places you can be.
It's a classic case of what looks beautiful is actually statistically pretty lethal. So welcome to the deep dive. Today we're analyzing a really specific and honestly quite alarming update that's come out of Norfolk.
We're digging into data from late 2025, released by the local branch of Reform North Norfolk, and it's all based on reporting from the North Norfolk News.
And just to set the stage, our mission today isn't to scare you off country roads. That's not the goal.
No.
We want to understand a paradox in the data. We're going to look at why these accidents are happening, the specific mix of things making them deadly, and the political storm that's brewing because of it.
Let's start with that paradox because this is the thing that really made me stop and reread the notes. It's the core mystery.
It is. It's the kind of data point that makes you lean in and go, wait, what? Run that by me again.
Okay, so here it is. According to the source, the overall number of casualties, so, accidents in general, scrapes, fender benders, that number is staying stable.
It's flat.
It's flat. We are not seeing a massive spike in the sheer volume of crashes, but the risk of a fatal collision is going up.
Right. And that is a terrifying divergence.
So we're not crashing more often, but when we do crash, people are dying more frequently. That just feels, it feels counterintuitive to me.
It does.
With cars getting safer, technology getting better, shouldn't survivability be going up? How can accidents be flat while deaths are rising?
You'd think so. But this forces us to look at the crucial difference between frequency and severity.
Okay.
In traffic analysis, those are totally different dials. Frequency is just how often things collide. Severity is what happens to the human body inside when that collision happens.
So the source is suggesting the actual physics of these crashes is changing.
Precisely. Let me give you an analogy. If you have like 1,000 little bumps in a supermarket car park, your frequency is huge.
Right.
But your fatality risk is almost zero because the energy is so low. What this report suggests is happening in Norfolk is the complete inverse. The incidents aren't skyrocketing, but the energy involved in them is. They're becoming higher impact, higher speed, and ultimately unsurvivable.
That is a chilling way to put it. It's not about how often you mess up, it's that the consequences of one mistake are becoming
Yeah.
absolute.
So let's get into the anatomy of this danger, because rural roads is a bit broad, but the source really breaks down why these routes are turning into, well, death traps.
It seems to boil down to three specific things. You could almost call it the unholy trinity of rural risk:
Which are.
infrastructure, speed, and the users.
Okay, let's start with infrastructure. The source highlights narrow lanes. Now, I've driven in Norfolk. Narrow feels like a bit of an understatement.
It really is.
Some of these lanes are barely wide enough for one car, let alone two.
And this is where the charm becomes the hazard. We love these roads because they're historic, they follow ancient property lines. But from a practical standpoint, they have zero margin for error.
Zero margin. What do you mean?
Okay, think about a motorway, right?
Yeah.
You have wide lanes, a hard shoulder, usually a crash barrier.
Yeah.
If you drift a foot to the left on the M1, you hit a rumble strip, you wake up.
Right.
If you drift a foot to the left on a Norfolk lane, what do you hit?
A ditch, a stone wall.
Or a massive oak tree that is not going to move an inch. That's the problem. On a modern road, the environment can kind of forgive a mistake. Out there, the road punishes it instantly.
Okay, which brings us to the second factor, speed. These aren't motorways, so why is speed such a huge issue here?
This is where human psychology really works against us. The source says drivers get this false sense of security.
Because it's pretty and it feels empty.
Exactly. You don't see traffic jams, you don't see brake lights, so
Yeah.
you open it up.
Right, you think you have the road to yourself.
You do. You're on a straight bit between two villages, sun's shining, haven't seen a car in 10 minutes, you speed up. But doing 60 miles an hour on a road that was designed for a horse is Well, it's a recipe for disaster.
And the physics must come back into play here.
Massively. Kinetic energy increases with the square of speed. A crash at 60 isn't just a bit worse than one at 40, it's exponentially more destructive.
Oh.
And you combine that high energy with the unforgiving infrastructure we just talked about.
Yeah.
Hitting a tree at 60 versus a crash barrier. You can see why the death rate is climbing.
Okay, so you have an unforgiving road and fast cars. But here's where it gets really stressful for me. The source talks about a mix of vulnerable road users.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the part that gave me anxiety just reading it. Because I've been there. You come around a blind corner and suddenly...
It's a conflict of eras. That's the best way to describe
it. The conflict of eras.
You've got modern high-speed vehicles trying to share the exact same tiny space as cyclists, pedestrians walking their dogs, and massive farm machinery.
The farm vehicles. That's the one that always gets me. You turn a corner and you are just staring at the wheels of a tractor that takes up the entire road.
And just think about the vulnerability scale in that situation.
Mm.
A pedestrian has zero protection. A cyclist has, what, a bit of foam on their head?
Right.
Then you have a car, which is a steel cage with airbags. And then you have a 10-ton combine harvester.
It's like a game of rock, paper, scissors, where the rock weighs 10 tons.
And they are all sharing a lane that's maybe 12 feet wide. And unlike a city, there are no pavements. You're on the tarmac. You are in the chute with everything else.
It is a volatile cocktail. The source directly links this mix to the higher risk. It's not just that the roads are bad, it's that the way we use them is incompatible.
And that ties right back to our paradox. If you have fewer minor scrapes, but more high-speed collisions between a car and, say, a cyclist,
mm-hmm.
your death rate climbs even if the total accident number doesn't.
That's terrifying. Okay, let's shift gears to the reaction, because this isn't just some dry report from the Department of Transport. This is coming from a political group.
Right. Reform North Norfolk. This is active.
And they are reacting to this data with, well, frustrations, probably putting it mildly.
It's a very specific narrative they're building. Mm-hmm. We have a quote here from Jason Patchett. He's the branch chairman. And his reaction really sets the tone.
He called the figures tragic, but sadly unsurprising.
Now, let's just pause on that phrase for a second. Sadly unsurprising. That word, unsurprising, is doing a lot of work there.
Yeah, let's unpack that. Because normally with rising fatalities, you'd expect shock. Oh my gosh, I had no idea. But he's saying, nope, we saw this coming.
Exactly. When a political figure says something is unsurprising, they are pointing a finger. They're implying this isn't a random spike. They're arguing this is the inevitable result of long-term inaction.
Which brings us to what you could call the neglect narrative.
That's it. The source explicitly says the rural road network has been neglected. And this taps into a really deep feeling you often hear about in the countryside.
What's the core of that argument? Is it just about money?
It's about priority. The argument is that the big money, the billions, it all goes to the motorways, the smart highways, the city bypasses.
The big flashy projects.
Right. Meanwhile, the country lanes, which are the literal lifelines for these communities, are just left to crumble.
And framing it as neglect is interesting. It's not budget constraints. Neglect implies a choice was made to ignore this.
And that's the political angle. We have to be impartial here and just report their stance, but their argument is that safety just hasn't been a priority. Patchett's quote ends with a plea for safety to become a priority before more lives are lost.
Which implies it hasn't been one up to now. That's a heavy accusation.
It is. But when you look at that severity paradox we started with, you can see why that argument resonates. If the roads are physically falling apart, locals will look at the fatalities and say, this didn't have to happen. This is a failure of maintenance.
So we have the problem, that deadly mix. We have the accusation, systemic neglect. What's the solution? They must be proposing a plan.
They are. And what's interesting is how up to basics it is. They aren't asking for AI traffic drones. They're asking for the fundamentals.
Okay, walk us through it. What's point number one?
Investment in maintenance.
So fixing the potholes.
Fixing the potholes, yes, but also resurfacing and fixing the road edges that are crumbling away.
You know, it's easy to joke about potholes as just being an annoyance, but here we're not talking about spilling your coffee, are we?
No. And this connects right back to the cyclist or motorcyclist. If a car hits a pothole, you might get a flat tire. It's an inconvenience.
Okay.
But if a cyclist hits that same pothole while a van is trying to squeeze past,
they lose their balance. They could be thrown into the path of the van.
Exactly. That's a fatality.
Yeah.
In this kind of environment, surface maintenance is safety. It's not cosmetic.
That makes a lot of sense. So what's number two?
Clearer signage.
Again, seems basic. But why is that so important here?
It's about something we call cognitive load. When you're driving on a winding country road, your brain is already processing a lot. You need to know what's coming up before you can see it.
Like a hidden dip or sharp bend ahead sign.
Right. But also, is there a hidden farm entrance? Is this a high-risk area for deer? If the signs are covered in moss or just missing, the driver's flying blind. Clearer signage buys you reaction time.
It lets you slow down before the crisis happens.
Yes. And the third one?
What's that?
Effective traffic calming.
Now, does that mean speed bumps everywhere? Because I can hear the locals groaning already.
It can. But traffic calming can be more subtle. It can be chicanes at village entrances, so you have to weave slightly, which forces you to slow down. Or it can even be psychological.
What, like visual narrowing?
Exactly. You paint lines on the road that make the lane look narrower, and drivers subconsciously slow down. It's about anything that physically or psychologically brings that speed down in critical spots.
It's interesting because the source notes that this isn't just about pouring concrete. It's about addressing driver behavior, too.
That's the crucial balance. You could build the safest road in the world, but if the driving culture is reckless, you'll still have crashes.
But is it fair to just blame the drivers?
It's not a binary choice. The argument here is that the infrastructure influences the behavior. If a road feels like a racetrack, people will drive like it's one. If the road gives you cues that you're in a shared space, most people will adjust.
So it's a whole system. You can't just blame the driver or just blame the road.
Precisely. And this conversation isn't happening in a vacuum. If you look at the source material, the political website, you can see this is a hot topic.
Right. There's a flurry of activity. We see references to street meets in Sheringham, Cromer, Stalham. There's a mayoral candidate visiting branches.
It tells you this issue is probably coming up on the doorsteps. This isn't some policy paper from a think tank in London. This feels like it's coming from the ground up.
That's a great point. It adds weight to the data. It's not just a spreadsheet. It's the community's anxiety. It suggests people in North Norfolk are genuinely worried every time their kids get in the car.
And that context makes that neglect narrative a lot stickier. It turns road maintenance from a boring administrative task into a really powerful voting issue.
So let's bring this all together. We started with that postcard image of Norfolk, serene, beautiful, but we've peeled back the layers to find a really disturbing trend.
We have. We've found a situation where the infrastructure, these historic lanes, just can't handle the modern mix of traffic. And while crashes are flat, the severity is spiking.
And we've heard the call from the local level, from Reform North Norfolk, arguing this is a result of calculated neglect, that the only way to fix it is money, maintenance, and better management.
It's a stark reminder that scenic can come with a very real hidden cost.
It really does. And while we're focused on Norfolk today, this feels like it resonates with anyone who lives outside a major city.
Absolutely. This is a universal rural tension. Every countryside community has this trade-off. You want to preserve the rural character, but you also need to survive the drive to the shops.
That's the needle you have to thread. How do you make it safe without destroying what makes it special?
And it leaves me thinking about that initial paradox. Casualties flat, deaths up.
It's one thing I can't shake.
It forces us to ask a real uncomfortable question about our safety standards.
Which is,
are we solving the easy problems and ignoring the hard ones? Maybe our cars are great at preventing whiplash in a low speed bump. We've engineered the danger out of the fender bender. But have we created a system where the catastrophic failures, the high speed crashes on rural lanes, are completely unaddressed?
That's a heavy thought. Are we just managing statistics, or are we actually saving lives where it really counts?
That is the million-dollar question. And the data from Norfolk suggests the answer isn't the one we want to hear.
Something to think about next time you're enjoying a drive through the country. Watch out for those tractors and stay curious.
Thanks for listening to this deep dive.
Drive safe, everyone.